Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, more people are climbing on airplanes this spring, and the flight attendant who was the victim of nut rage fights back.
Nut rage?
Yeah, the Korean Airlines flight attendant that served the nuts in the plastic thing instead of the paper thing or whatever. We got an update on it. Stay listening.
Okay. Well, Captain Garrett, also known as Kerry Nosler, joins us at 3:15 to talk about what makes up a great farmer's market and where some of his personal favorites are located.
Captain Garrett, wow, a blast from Sacramento's past. At 3:25, Gwen Duncan has a great deal of the week. Hint, if you've ever thought about taking a cruise on an American river on a steamboat, you'll want to be listening.
And at 3:35, our favorite consumer advocate, Ed Perkins, is here to update us on the good and the bad of being an airline passenger in 2015. Ed is after the hotels as well and their bogus resort fees, and he tells how.
It's Sunday afternoon, and joining you both from Sacramento and the land of the Cactus League in Phoenix, Arizona, we are the Travel Guys.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks, I want the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
From sunny Sacramento and from sunny Arizona, it's the Travel Guys on the radio here at KFBK every Sunday at 3 o'clock, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, and in the, what do they call it, the land of the cactus?
The Valley cactus, of the Sun.
The Valley of the Sun, the land of the Cactus League Baseball. Mark's in Phoenix. Mark, how's it going down there?
Hey, it's going very well. It is warm in Phoenix. You know, the most important thing if you're ever coming to spring training is get seats that are in the shade. It's arguably the most important thing that people overlook. They come down here on their own, and 90% of the seats at these ballparks are in the sun. So when it gets to be 85, 90 degrees, sitting in the sun for 3 or 4 hours isn't as nearly as good of an idea as you thought it was when you were sitting at home.
Yeah, and you want to make sure to bring the sunscreen. You could certainly spoil a Phoenix vacation if you got sunburned right away, like some of us do when we go to Hawaii. Mark, I'll tell you, there's been a lot of chatter in the news about what's been going on down in spring training with Will Ferrell pulling one of the Will stunts. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, it was kind of funny. It must have been on Thursday, was it? Yeah, Thursday. The day our group arrived here, he went around and played in, this is not a secret any longer, for 10 different teams in 5 different games, and the games were spread out over the day. They had to rearrange some of the times of the games. In fact, he arrived at the game we were at, the White Sox and the Giants game, by helicopter, and played an inning as catcher, or kind of sort of played an inning as catcher for the Giants, played designated hitter for the White Sox. And so it was kind of fun. It was, imagine a guy landing in center field in the ninth inning of a baseball game, already attired in uniform and everything. So it's spring training, Tom, and, you know, the games don't count. The star players play a few innings. Guys run in the outfield to get their exercise while the game's still going on. It's kind of informal, but it was a lot of fun. It gave people something to talk about, for sure.
Well, I have to ask the question. Generally, when Will Ferrell does something along this order, it may be related to maybe a new movie. Has he got a baseball movie coming
this
out?
Boy, how did you know that, to ask that question? He is working on a TV special for HBO, which apparently will be on sometime in August. And this was also a charitable thing for a charity that provides college grants to folks who have issues, cancer issues. And so all of the gear that Will wore during the day, all 10 different teams, is going to be auctioned off by Major League Baseball, and all of the proceeds from that are going to go to provide college scholarships for cancer victims. So it was kind of cool, and it was fun, and it added a little bit of a twist. You wouldn't want to do that at a regular baseball game, but at spring training, it seems somehow appropriate when you can sit and have a conversation with your neighbor while the ball game's going on, or, you know, it's it's just a whole different feel.
Well, you know, a lot of us here in, well, in my position that have never had a chance or never bothered to go to spring training, I am a baseball fan, but, you know, I've yet to do that that voyage. And it, I know you and Sports Leisure Vacations clients, travelers go every year. It's a tradition for a lot of folks. And the question I keep asking is, what's it all about? What's in it for me? And why do you guys go?
You know, it's amazing. Spring training, especially for guys and for a lot of ladies, it's a bucket list sort of thing. I'm always going to go there. And once people come, they generally come back because it is just fun in the Arizona sunshine. And there's a lot to be said for baseball and sunshine if you're a baseball fan. So it is something we go every year. In fact, Tom, you ask, we're going to ask some of the folks who are on the trip with us down here why they came to spring training and what they thought, what was the most fun or what were the highlights. And we'll bring that sound back and we'll have it on the Travel Guys next week.
No, that'll be great. I'll look forward to it, and that'll answer my question, and perhaps I'll be on your trip next year. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and at the beginning of every Travel Guys radio show, we're pretty close to the beginning. We take care of what is known as the travel news. And with that being said, let's call on Mark, who always is the knower of the news. Mark, what do you know?
The knower of the news. I like that. The travel news is kind of light this week, Tom. There's not a whole lot going on. I guess that's a good thing. That means that people are, hotel companies and airlines are not sticking it to the travelers, or we would be here to report about it. One of the biggest stories of the week is that American Airlines and U.S. Airways, of course, they are merging into be one airline. They have already merged at Sacramento International Airport. If you're catching an American Airlines flight, they now all depart from the old terminal. So you need to go to the A terminal if you are, that's right. Am I getting the terminals
yeah,
right here?
Yeah, that's it. I know it's
terribly
seems,
confused.
It seems backwards. You would think the newest would be at the top of the alphabet, but,
yeah.
but not the case.
Not the case.
The old terminal is still Terminal A.
That's where you go to catch any American Airlines or U.S. Airways flight because they are soon to be partners. And if you are a member of the frequent flyer program of either or both of those airlines, they have announced that within the next 30 days, they are going to join those programs together. So you can be looking for an announcement that will tell you that your mileage has been combined and confirmed. And if other mergers are of recent note or any record of the past, why you are going to want to make sure, keep an eye on your miles and make sure everything goes the way it's supposed to, because sometimes it doesn't, and you might have to make a phone call or something like that and make sure that everything that you have coming to you is credited. So just a heads up, if you're a U.S. Airways or American Airlines traveler, change is coming. I mentioned in the headlines that U.S. travel volume this spring will reach its highest level in 7 years. This is according to a forecast issued this week by Airlines for America. The airline group says that 2% more people will travel this spring than last spring, and that travel on airlines in April will, for the first time, reach pre-recessionary levels. So if you were traveling through airports this year and you're thinking, wow, airport seems a little crowded than it's been lately, you're right. It is a little bit crowded than it has been lately.
Amazing. I want to digress just a little bit. You were talking about the merging and travel credits and frequent flyer miles and all of that. We talked a few weeks back about Southwest is going had announced that they were going to make a change.
Yes.
Anything new on what that change is?
Nothing new yet. They're going to change the redemption value for some of their peak flights are going to be more than what it's been in the past, is what we're all guessing. And maybe some of their new international flights are going to cost more. That's supposed to come up the second week of April. And you're right on the ball, Mr. Travel Guy. But no, sorry, no update on that quite yet. I'll keep watching. Knowing that it's important to you, I'll keep on the ball. We mentioned in the headlines about the Korean Air flight attendant who is striking back at the airline. If you remember this was an incident at JFK mm-hmm. where the daughter of the airline's chairman, who was an official within the airline, flight attendant served her macadamia nuts in a bag instead of in a porcelain bowl, and she went ballistic on the flight attendant. Well, she then later apologized and resigned from the airline and all that kind of stuff, but the flight attendant now has filed suit in state Supreme Court in New York, charging the airline and the And the gal that was on the plane, she basically is charged, alleging physical and verbal abuse. So the soap opera goes on. The little bowl of macadamia nuts is turning out to be quite a big deal. Hey, something that I noticed, Tom, that will make our friend Ed Perkins, who is appearing with us later on the program, by the way, happy, is that for the fifth straight month, his airport in Medford, Oregon, has set a passenger record. So you know how Ed has always complained about the lousy airline service up in Medford.
Right.
So it looks like maybe, Ed, things are about to get a little bit better. They had 47,000 passengers who flew through their small airport up there last month. So maybe air service getting a little better for our friends in Southern Oregon.
I guess that's a good thing. I mean, are they in a position to be able to handle that kind of volume is the question.
Well, yeah. Fortunately, so far, most of the flights that fly in there are 37, 50, and 70 passenger aircraft. So who knows? Maybe they'll have some real airplanes landing in Medford soon. The TSA has reported this is not very, this is disconcerting. Last year, they confiscated 2,212 guns in carry-on bags at airports across the country. 83% of those were loaded. Holy cow.
And one of the things that always amazes me is that a lot of these guns that were picked up were stuff that people claimed that they had. Well, I forgot that I had my gun in my purse. I didn't really remember I packed that. How do you not remember that you have a gun?
Tom, cultures in different states where open carry is legal, then perhaps it becomes so second nature that you forget that you have it. To me, the fact that you forgot you had it and you brought it on the airplane, I don't want you to have four beers and get upset with the flight attendant or something. So one more quickie here. You know, the security at airports is supposed to be pretty spectacular, but at San Francisco International Airport last Wednesday, a lady was able to breach security and get onto a runway. Hypothetically, a 42-year-old woman who may have some mental issues allegedly just walked onto a runway and started waving her arms at an airplane. She was taken into custody by airport police, but the question was asked, how could it be that easy to get onto the runway at San Francisco International Airport? So I'm sure we will hear more about that one in the days to come. And that, sir, is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys on KFBK. And coming up in just about 3 minutes, Sacramento's very own Captain Carrot, Kerry Nosler, joins us on the Travel Guys.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. I'm Mark Hoffman, along with Tom Romano. We're just rolling along here on a Sunday afternoon. And, Tom, we have a really special guest now. I think somebody that perhaps a lot of our listeners are going to recognize this gentleman. Tell us.
All right, Mark, this is a gentleman that I've been acquainted with for many, many years. And a lot of our listeners, probably some will know him by his real name and others will know him by his handle. Our guest today, a longtime Sacramento and longtime radio and TV broadcaster, Kerry Nosler. Now, Kerry, of course, was known as Captain Carrot. Kerry, Captain, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you. Thank you. I can usually tell how old the people are that come up to me and say hello by whether some of them still say, hi, Captain Carrot, and others say Kerry Nosler. So either way, I'm always pleased when someone takes the time to say hello.
Go ahead and remind folks where they might have first run across you on radio in the Sacramento market back when.
Well, actually, it started, Tom, with a station both you and I worked at, the old KCRA radio. And from KCRA radio, I went over to KZAP, where I'd worked previously as a disc jockey from my time at KCRA. They also had the TV, obviously, in the same area, and that led to television appearances. And while I was trying to kind of hide behind Captain Carrot, I had no intention of letting anybody know who I was. When I got on TV, the ruse was exposed, and that's the kind of way it stayed for years. And I was happy to do so because I enjoyed what I was doing, telling folks about nutrition and exercise and just trying to spread the word of health.
And Kerry also had a show on our sister station KSTE for a number of years, Wide World of Health, which I know a lot of listeners used to count on. And Kerry left you left the Sacramento market, went down south for some time.
I did. Tom, I lived in Pasadena for a while, and then I was also on the coast, the Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach area, which I enjoyed a great deal as well. But wherever I was, I also took advantage of the local food scene, which is just vibrant, as you know. It's a big part of what's happening among people who are interested in health these days. They call them local vores, people who look for things in their own area that might be healthy. And, Tom, something that you and I have talked about in the past, and that's the idea that we take advantage of the many, many farmers markets, local farmers markets that are just springing up everywhere, not only in California, but really across the country. And it's really a reflection of people's desire to kind of get back to roots, to find local, good tasting, fresh food.
Locavores. I love that. Isn't that a great word, Tom?
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great word. So, Carrie, farmers markets now are just springing up all over the place. The other day, I got on my news feed talking about a farmers market in an airport someplace.
Yes.
And so you're absolutely right. People are willing to pay a huge premium. Just go into a Whole Foods store and realize, and now every other supermarket is copying them, that freshly prepared, good food is something that people are willing to pay a premium for. And in their busy lives, it's the only alternative in many cases for folks.
Well, I'll tell you, I just got back from the Natural Products Expo in Anaheim. It was actually a four-day affair. 71,000 people attended, believe it or not, with about over 2,000 people who had booths or companies that were representing different aspects of the health food industry. And the food part of it itself, the different health foods, were just a big part of what was going on. You know, that industry now was $252 billion. So, yes, it is. It's going down from that point, from the stores itself, to supporting local farmers and local farms. You know, what is Sacramento? Right, the farm-to-fork capital of the world, as they've said.
Pretty much. Now, Carrie, you've traveled the state of California, and particularly very familiar with us here in Northern California. And there are a lot of farmers markets, but like a lot of different products, there are good ones and there are ones that aren't so good. Give us a few of your favorites, locations within, a 50-mile radius of farmers markets that you think are top-notch.
Generally, the one I go to, the favorite, as you mentioned before, which one I like, is down on 7th and W, under the freeway in Sacramento. I mean, they're all over the place. I go to several. But that's the biggest one in the whole state, believe it or not, of only where farmers themselves, the people who produce it, are represented, and no other trinkets or toys or other kinds of things are allowed. And that's my favorite. I was there today, in fact, before we did the show, and that's just there's like 150 growers that come to that particular farmer's market.
Our guest is Carrie Nosler, also for some of you, Captain Carrot. We're talking about, farmer's markets and travel. I can see traveling to farmer's markets as a thing where you could travel around the state and hit the different farmers markets.
Carrie, don't you think that farmers markets are a place that make people happy? When people see all of that kind of, I don't know, I'm going to sound like Guy Fieri now, all of that freshness, doesn't it just make people, want to pull over? It puts people in a conversational mood and a positive attitude.
I think you hit the nail on the head. because we are so far removed in our daily lives from the actual process of growing food, of understanding food. All we think about, you just go to the store, you see it on the shelf, or you see it in some produce row, and you have no idea how in the world it got there. They did a survey years ago, and there were kids who actually didn't know milk came from cows, for goodness sakes. You know, we have separated ourselves so far that when you get to the farmer's market, you're like reconnecting. You're actually talking to people who have that skill in terms of bringing food to us. And listen, you can talk to them and you can find out, well, what about this variety? You go to the grocery store, you may find four varieties of apples. You can go to a farmer's market and find 20, 30, 40, depending on where you are, especially those around Sebastopol, for example. And that's the different thing you find when you're traveling around the state. Each farmer's market will have something that's more peculiar to their area.
Kerry, thank you so much for sharing with us today. And I hope that if as the weather warms up, the season gets good, if you go out someplace and find something that you would really like to share with folks in Sacramento, keep us in mind. There's always room for you here.
Oh, Mark and Tom, thank you so much. And, Mark, when you go up north, please bring me back some of those delicious berries.
Here.
You know, Captain Carrot must know that I'm one of the guys who migrates up to the great Pacific Northwest to bring back duffel bags full of berries every summer. You got it. I will bring some back for Captain Carrot. Let's shift gears here quickly, Tom. And waiting on the line for us now is Gwen Duncan, who has this week's deal of the week, and I understand it has to do with steamboating on America's rivers. Gwen?
It does, and funny you should have just mentioned about the Pacific Northwest, because one of these ships does go up there. We've got the American Queen Steamboat Company is offering 30% off. That's a big savings for this particular company, trust me.
Yeah, it is.
But the Pacific Northwest is done by the American Empress, and they have and it's kind of elegant and modern luxury in it, and it has a lot of Pacific Northwest heritage, expressed on the ship.
Now, this is the boat that used to be on the Mississippi River.
That's right.
The American Queen.
Yep.
And so now it's up on the Columbia River.
That's right. And it's owned by a different company.
I wonder how you pick up and move a steamboat.
Yeah. But the good thing about the American Empress sailings are they include shore excursions on every one of their ports. They have two ships. And the other one is the American Queen. And that one does the Mississippi and the lower and upper Mississippi and the Ohio and Tennessee rivers. It's the Columbia and Snake Rivers that the American Empress does. So it covers quite a bit of the rivers here in the United States. But that one, the American Queen, is an American Victorian. And it's just really a beautiful ship. That one, they don't do the shore excursions that aren't included in that. But both of them have complimentary wine and beer with dinner. But it's a great thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, Gwen, you know, a lot of folks have done cruises and they know what the, the accommodations are. When you do a steamship cruise like this, is it an overnight or what kind of accommodations do they have?
Oh, what I can say is elegant, but they've got nice, spacious rooms.
Thomas, in my opinion, is one of the great American vacation adventures. How much did you say was off, Gwen? 30%?
Well, I tell you, there's 30% off, and that represents, now I've got a booking I'm looking at right here where two people for the week, and that's on the Mississippi, it's on the lower Mississippi, is running about $3,600 per person, and that's with the 30% off.
So it's a pretty good deal. And how long is this deal out there for?
It's going to be out there until March the 31st. It was until the 15th. They've extended it to March the 31st.
You go to travelguysradio.com and you find a link to see why yours travel. What's your website again, Gwen, is?
It's www.gocytravel.com. I'm posting everything on my website.
All righty. Thank you, Gwen Duncan. Thomas, what we got coming up after the news?
Mark, Smarter Travel's Ed Perkins joins us to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of airline travel in 2015, right here on The Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK. Welcome, everyone. It's The Travel Guys on KFBK. Tom and Mark here, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And once again, time to bring back probably the smartest traveler on the planet with smartertravel.com, Ed Perkins. Mark, tell us a little bit about where you found this guy and what we're going to hear today.
Well, Ed has been a guest on the Travel Guys since the beginning of the program. And when I talk to folks about the show, oftentimes they talk about people they've heard on the program or bits of information they've picked up. The bits of information they most frequently talk about are some of the information that comes from Ed Perkins. And so Ed has been advocating for consumers in the travel arena for how long, Ed?
Longer than I care to remember.
Okay.
about 25 years.
Joining us on the phone from his home in Ashland, Oregon, is Ed Perkins. And Ed has written a couple things here recently that caught my eye. One was one that came out this week. And by the way, you can find links to these articles we're talking about at travelguysradio.com. And I also regularly recommend to folks who travel, especially those who are kind of amateur travelers or leisure travelers a couple, three times a year, smartertravel.com is really a great website for picking up information, and we frequently rely on it to find things that are of interest to our listeners. So Ed wrote about the airline experience and about what air travel was going to be like in 2015. And Ed, I wanted to give you the opportunity to share some of this information. Some of it is good for leisure travelers. Some is good for the frequent business traveler. What do you see in your crystal ball for 2015 for air travelers?
Fortunately, the story I wrote had more to do with checking other people's crystal ball than my own, because my own hasn't always served me as well as it might have. But I can see some of this stuff myself. The airlines have taken the approach that may be justified, which is how good a product we give people in the rear cabin doesn't matter, because they buy on the basis of price. And so we're going to do everything we can to be able to post a low price and then compete on the basis of what we give people that pay huge money in the front cabin and in the rear cabin. And literally somebody in the industry talked about putting in a lot of improved entertainment systems by saying in-flight entertainment is something that can distract from their discomfort level. So that's the industry talking. They recognize that the rear cabin is a discomfort zone, and they're putting their effort into more and more elaborate in-flight entertainment and sort of the, if you don't call it entertainment, also because it's used for work, internet. I think you're going to see live internet on most airplanes by the end of this year.
Well, and we just heard that Delta is upgrading their internet. United's internet is finally showing up on most of their airplanes, but it's woefully inadequate and not really very trustworthy. But the reality is that now if you take an iPad or a phone on a plane or even a computer, you can connect to the internet. In many cases, you can get free entertainment. I think that is a plus. I find that to be a plus when I'm flying across the country. I will confess, Ed, that I have even, and Tom, I've even sprung for the $8.99 and bought on my way onto the internet on occasion just because it's worth $9 to me. I think the airlines have found the right price point between $5 and $10 to be able to connect, get messages, do some work. You know, a lot of us value our time really greatly. So if you're going to tell me for $10 I can keep up with the planet for a couple hours, well, then I'm probably going to pay that. And I don't see that as being particularly arduous charge, certainly not the way that I see charging $35 for an exit row seat.
Let me ask this to both of you. You know, first of all, I can see that, you know, if you have internet and they're going to get to the point where it's going to be a lot quicker because it's going to be from the plane to the satellite rather than back to the ground to the satellite. So all that's going to improve. Is it going to get to the point where planes that used to have TV screens and they would have movies, are they just going to eliminate those altogether?
Yes, I think so. I think if you're talking about the kind of TV screens that used to drop from the ceiling every 10 rows or something, I think those are going to be gone as soon as some of those older airplanes are gone and ones the airlines are not going to refurbish. So, yeah, I think that's a thing of the past. That's a relic. In fact, I haven't seen one in my travels for a year or more.
Well, listen, and heads up to folks that if you rely on the airlines to have the headphones in the back of the seat to listen to the entertainment and stuff like that, those are no longer in the back of the seat. So make sure that you bring your own headphones with you, or you're going to find yourself in a position where you have access to entertainment but no way to listen to it. So most folks, particularly most younger folks, carry their own headphones with their electronic gear wherever they go, so that's nothing new to them. But
the other question I had for the both of you is that are you saying that they make more money or that the first class flyers are and upgrading and all of that to the first class is where the real profit margin is, and the people in the back 80% of the plane they just don't care about any longer?
No, I don't. I'm not saying that it's the profit margin. Is that way because the kind of service that the airlines provide up front is very expensive to provide. The point being that this is where the discretionary dollars are. This is where they're really fighting each other rather than just packing them in as much as they can.
Tom, I would tell you, too, that airlines, listen, they didn't start making money hand over fist. I mean, forget about the fuel costs for a minute. That could be an anomaly that might not last forever. But they started making money 6 or 7 years ago when they started charging baggage fees. And so I will suggest to you that in the 90s, airlines had first-class sections and coach sections, and they weren't able to make money. So Ed's right. It's not necessarily about first class, although, you know, those lie-flat beds and stuff like that in many cases are a great source of revenue for the airlines. Many of the people, Tom, who are in first class, look at the board before you board an aircraft. It'll tell you how many people were upgraded on a complimentary basis to first class, and generally it's at least half the people who are there, and a lot of the other people who are there have bought a first-class ticket because the airline prompted them when they checked in and said, hey, psst, over here, come here. You know, first class on this flight is usually like $500 more, but we'll sell you a first class seat for $99 if you'll buy it right now.
Wow.
And
so, I got a deal for you.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. And listen, I'm a frequent traveler hoping for those complimentary upgrades on occasion, and sometimes now I will pay them the $99 for the upgrade because I know I've got it.
You absolutely know you won't get it if you don't pay.
And exactly. When they show that on the screen, I know they're selling it out from under me. And there's nothing wrong with that. Listen, they don't owe me an upgraded seat. I mean, I'd like to think as a frequent traveler, I should be able to get their Economy Plus version, which I can. And that's enough. But I worry, you know, most of the people who travel with my company sit in the back of the aircraft, and I sit back there frequently with them in crowded sections with restrooms that are ridiculous, and there aren't enough of them. And it's just, I don't know. But you know what, Ed, don't you think that people wanting lower prices, price tickets, drives all of this?
Of course it does. And it's not just that the people want the lower price, but the way airline tickets are sold, when you get on the internet, the sellers and the aggregators, they display everybody's fare side by side. So if your fare is even $5 higher than the next guy, that guy's going to look better, and people will buy that. So that's why it's so terribly important for these airlines to be able to put up a list price that looks very low, and then they'll get it back in the fees and stuff that they slap on you.
Kind of similar to what the hotels are doing to us with the resort fees.
Well, yes, except that there's this one difference. At least the airline, the Department of Transportation, has told the airlines that you cannot do this. They tried with fuel surcharges. They say, I checked one time, the fare to London is, from New York to London, is $250 plus a $400 surcharge. Now, come on. That's obviously fake. And the Department of Transportation said, you know, you cannot post prices that way. The people have to pay the $750. You have to put that out as your fare. Mm-hmm. But there's nobody can tell hotels to do that. The Federal Trade Commission does not have the kind of enforcement authority that over hotels that DOT has over airlines. And the way I figure it is that if there's ever going to be any effective push against hotel deceptive ads like that, it's going to have to come from the states. The state attorney generals. Now, I've tried to interest the California attorney general in taking this one on, but so far no luck. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen, because Californians who go to Vegas a lot and who go to Hawaii a lot pay a lot of these surcharges because those are two areas where the surcharges are most prevalent.
Wow, Tom, Ed Perkins has more information than just about anybody. Is that amazing? I mean, now he's after the Attorney General for the state of California. I guess the definition of a bad day is when you wake up and Ed Perkins has a message on your cell phone.
You got that right. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Stick around in a couple of minutes. Ed's going to talk to us about which of the airlines are really sticking to their mission statement, if you will, and particularly it looks like it might be some that you fly, maybe some of the smaller airlines. That's coming up right here on The Travel Guys.
Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road. Tell me how long you gonna stay here, Joe.
It's the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman, well, he's not to my left today. I guess depending on where, how I'm sitting, huh? Really far left in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Tom Romano in studio.
Tom!
There you go. and we're, yes, we're doing this all with a bullhorn. Okay, welcome back. Where are we headed from here? It's back to Ed Perkins in a second.
We are. We were talking with our good buddy Ed Perkins before the break, and Ed was, we were talking about hotel resort fees and the trying times for air travelers, but and Ed has some thoughts about some of the airlines that are maybe doing a little bit better job than others. Let's see what he has to say.
Some of the good news is actually at the airports, getting you through the hassle there. Global entry for foreign travelers, global entry is great. I don't know if either of you have come into the country from outside and belong to this, but I have several times now. And you just stick your hand up against a screen and it verifies your fingerprints. You put your passport down, it takes a picture of that, answer a couple of questions by poking the screen. They give you a piece of paper, comes out. You walk right by those immigration and naturalization and customs lines. It's wonderful. And the only problem with that is you have to pay $100 for a five-year membership. But $20 a year, I think that's a pretty good deal if you travel outside the country at all.
Even if you were only traveling once a year, I would suggest to you, you're buying a $1,000 or a $1,200 plane ticket, $20 to make sure that you can get easily in and out of the country is not necessarily unreasonable. As you've just pointed out, there is actual value there.
That's right. And the other thing that's happening, for some time now, recently, the U.S. government has told foreign airports, look, if you want to pay for it, we will establish pre-clearance. Now, if anybody, any of your listeners have come in from Canada recently, they know that at most big Canadian airports, you can go through U.S. Customs and Immigration at the airport before you leave, so that when you get into the U.S., you come in as a domestic passenger. No lines, no nothing. Just walk right past the way you normally do.
Makes life a lot easier.
And we've had that in Canada for some time, in Ireland for several decades. But now a couple of European airports have said, hey, we think that might be a good idea. And I think Oslo is going to go ahead with it, and Stockholm maybe. And what would be really nice is if London, Frankfurt, and Paris would do it. And I think that may come. But that's, one way or another, either pre-clearance or the global entry. It really is easier to come back into the country than it used to be.
Okay, good tips there. So but it sounds to me, Ed, like for the poor guy stuck in the back of the domestic aircraft, life is not looking to get too much better this year.
No, get used to it.
Okay, that's me. That's where I'll be.
Well, listen, and more and more, you know, Tom, I've flown Southwest a lot this year, and there's just a different attitude on those airplanes. And I think maybe it's because there isn't a first class. I don't fly JetBlue a lot, but people tell me it's the same kind of atmosphere on their airplanes. And maybe it has something to do with that. I don't know. I do know one thing. Airfares adjusted for inflation, Ed, would you agree with me on this, are still one of the best bargains on the planet?
Yes, I agree with you. I think it's too bad that you get such a bad product for it, but the prices are certainly, compared with other things, I think really still quite good. And as far as the question of Southwest and JetBlue, Southwest has done a marvelous job of keeping sort of a small airline vibe in their employees and the way they do business. And the same thing's true of Virgin America and Alaska, which are small airlines, and they try to maintain and do maintain far better customer relations than the big guys do.
Well, and so there maybe is a tip from Ed Perkins, is the more that you can fly on smaller carriers. I wish we had Virgin America here in Sacramento, Ed, and I know you're up by Medford, Oregon, so your choices are really limited. They send the hamster and the rubber band planes up there to see you on a regular basis, like the ones that don't fly with low ceilings and all kinds of stuff. But Ed Perkins from Ashland. Ed, thank you again for all of your time and all of your wisdom. We will be back to check in with you in a few weeks. As always, go to TravelGuysRadio.com to find the articles that we're talking to Ed about today, and you can find his writings on SmarterTravel.com on a regular basis. Take care, my friend.
And you too. It's always great being with you.
Ed Perkins, who writes for SmarterTravel.com, always a pleasure to have Ed on the show. We are the Travel Guys, and Mark, what else we got going on here?
Well, let's see. We've got some housekeeping things here. We need to announce our Sports Leisure Vacations winner. Each week we award a travel certificate to a lucky winner. It starts at $100. If we don't have a winner, it goes up $100 a week until we have one. We did not have a winner last week.
No.
So our contestant this week can win a $200 travel certificate if he just calls the Sports Leisure Vacations office Monday or Tuesday and says, hey, I heard my name on the Travel Guys radio show. It's Rick Manis, who went with us to Costa Rica a couple of weeks ago. So, Rick, if you're listening to the radio or somebody who is a friend of yours lets you know why you can pick up a $200 travel certificate. Let's see. Also, next week, on KVIE, on Rob on the Road, a program proudly underwritten by Sports Leisure Vacations. Rob is taking you on his favorite getaways, journey through some of Rob's favorite destinations from Muir Beach. I think they may mean Muir Woods there, to Point Reyes National Seashore. Look back at some of Rob's most memorable California destination discoveries. That's on KVIE on Monday evening, Rob on the Road. Hey, I want to tell you something, Tom, about a thing that we talked about. You know, we told folks on the air a few weeks ago about this new car rental company.
Right. I think it was the Audis, the Silver something.
What was Silver it? Car is the name
Silver
of it.
Silver Car.
And had an opportunity earlier this week in Phoenix to try them for the first time. And I just want to tell anybody who's listening on the radio, they're now in 10 different cities. I don't think we even have a link on our website to this, but it's silvercar.com, pretty easy. And if you are a road warrior, I'm just going to tell you something, guys and gals. This is something that you really need to look into. When I arrived in Phoenix, I got a text on my phone that said, hey, let us know. Text us when you've got your luggage. They instructed me to take the car rental shuttle. They picked me up at the shuttle building because their office is right behind it. Got into a Audi that had 700 miles on it. Gosh, those are nice cars. Tooled around the Phoenix area for a couple days, took it back. No hassles. If you don't fill up the tank, they charge you the street price and one $5 service charge.
That's fascinating.
Isn't that one? I mean, they're not trying to get you every time you're coming and going, and it's just they take you back to the terminal when you bring your car back. I don't know how they can do it. It was very competitive. The price was the same as any other rental car agency here in the Valley, which at this time of the year isn't cheap.
I have to. I want to kind of think that maybe this has something to do with the makers of the car, Audi, trying to get people to behind the wheel of them in this particular environment. This is a way to do it.
That
they may want to purchase one of these, and so they've thrown this out. And
I had never driven one before, and just driving one, I mean, they're just a smart, nice-handling car. But if you're looking for car rental, they're in 10 cities. I know they're at DFW. I know they're in San Francisco. They're here in Phoenix. They've just started up in Denver. So something kind of cool and different in the car rental world, silvercar.com. I give it my highest recommendation. I intend to use them again soon. And I guess that's really about all we have for today, Thomas.
Well, I'll tell you, it's been a fully packed radio program. If you'd like to, if you missed some of it, you can find it at TravelGuysRadio.com, where we podcast all of our past radio programs and, of course, links to all of our special guests on the program today and every week. Well, speaking of special guests and being able to link to something, we've got a special guest next week that I had an opportunity to interview this past Friday, and this little piece of music might give you a hint as to who that special person might be.
Isn't this a man who's coming and doing a concert in Sacramento here very soon, I believe?
You bet. And
I remember all my life.
That was his very first hit in 1975. We're gonna talk about that and much more with Barry Manilow next week right here on The Travel Guys.
Thank you, Tom. Looking forward to that from Phoenix. I got to go back out to the ballpark, so I will say goodbye. You guys have a good Sunday afternoon. Thomas, you take her home.
Thank you, everyone. Stay well. We'll see you next Sunday, 3 o'clock, on the next edition of The Travel Guys.